Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson for this Maundy Thursday, we heard of Jesus mandating something. That's why we have the term Maundy Thursday. Jesus Christ has given a new commandment to love one another as he has loved us. And yet, this very night, we're not going to gather up here and I'm not going to wash all of your feet. Why did the church not carry that practice over? Well, it seems very clear that it carries over a much more important practice, something that is actually a sacrament, not a washing of feet, but a washing away of sins, a marking, a branding, a making us God's own children. We have been washed with something far greater than foot washing. We have been washed in the waters of holy baptism, where God's word has joined to the water, that we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This washing is far greater than the foot washing. And something even more important happened that night than the foot washing as well. Our Lord instituted his supper, his holy communion, the giving of his body and blood. Jesus loves his disciples and he loves each and every one of us so much that he came to serve them. The King of all creation should not have been down on his knees washing these filthy men and their filthy feet. And yet he did that because he loves them, because he serves them. He has come to do far greater things. He has come to sacrifice himself on the cross to cover their sins, to cover their shame and their sorrow. In our epistle lesson, we get from St. Paul words that will sound very familiar to you, words that blend with the words of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, words that the pastor proclaims over bread and wine each and every time we gather for the Lord's Supper. These words are blended together because they are Christ's words. These words are necessary, so that what we receive is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and not just plain bread and wine. The words of Jesus are just as necessary in this as they are in the pouring of water. The word of God must be joined to these visible elements for us to see and to receive. Theologically speaking, the Lutheran Church confesses what the Church has always confessed. She confesses that this is the body and blood of Jesus Christ in a real sense. That these are not simply symbols, they are not representation, they are not imagination. They are the body and blood of Jesus. And the Lutheran Church recognizes the importance of simply following what Christ has said and saying, we don't fully comprehend this. This is a divine mystery, and yet we confess it. You have oftentimes heard me confess the words from the Augsburg Confession, but tonight I want to read to you a chunk from the Formula of Concord, put together first and foremost by the second great Martin Chemnitz, in which he quotes from a number of our other confessional documents. He writes, this opinion is clearly expressed in Luther's Small Catechism in the following words. What is the sacrament of the altar? Answer, it is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine for us Christians to eat and to drink, instituted by Christ himself, the Small Catechism. In the Apology, this is not only explained still more clearly, but it is also established by the passage from Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, and by the testimony of Cyril in the following words. Article 10 has been approved, in which we confess the following. We believe that in the Lord's Supper, Christ's body and blood are truly and substantially present and are truly administered with those things that are seen, bread and wine, to those who receive the sacrament. Since Paul says the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? It would follow that if the Lord's body were not truly present, the bread is not a communion of the body, but only of Christ's spirit. We have determined that not only the Roman Church affirms Christ's bodily presence, the Greek Church also now believes, and formerly believed, the same. He goes on to write, this is what the small called articles declare. The bread and wine in the supper are Christ's true body and blood. These are given and received not only by the godly, but also by wicked Christians. Dr. Luther has also more fully expounded and confirmed this opinion from God's word in the large catechism where it is written. Now, what is the sacrament of the altar? Answer, it is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in and under the bread and wine, which we Christians are commanded by Christ's word to eat and to drink. And shortly after, it is the word, I say, that makes and sets this sacrament apart. So it is not mere bread and wine, but is and is called Christ's body and blood. Again, with this word, you can strengthen your conscience and say, if 100,000 devils, together with all fanatics, should rush forward crying, how can bread and wine be Christ's body and blood and such? I know that all spirits and scholars together are not as wise as is the divine majesty in his little finger. Now here stands Christ's word. Take, eat. This is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, and so on. Here we stop to watch those who will call themselves his masters and make the matter different from what he has spoken. It is true indeed that if you take away the word or regard the sacrament without the words, you have nothing but mere bread and wine. But if the words remain with them as they shall and must, then by virtue of the words, it is truly Christ's body and blood, what Christ's lips say and speak. So it is. He can never lie or deceive. These are our official confessional documents. This is what we in the Lutheran Church subscribe to. We confess that it is Christ's body and blood, not because it makes logical sense, but simply because Jesus Christ says, is. We allow Jesus, we allow the Holy Spirit, we allow the Father to be smarter than we are, to understand things that are outside of our fallen human comprehension. We believe the words of St. Paul. He wrote, the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Notice, not just guilty of simple, plain old bread and wine, but the body and blood of Jesus. He says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment on himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This testament, this covenant, Christ's body and blood, they are miraculous. And they give us the forgiveness of sins. They give us new life and salvation. That is what we receive if we hold to these words, if we confess them completely. But at the same time, those who deny it eat and drink judgment on themselves. The old King James translation used the word condemnation. Our altar is closed to those who do not confess this real presence. Not because we don't want them to receive Jesus' body and blood, but because we do not want them to receive that judgment for not properly discerning. When we kneel at this rail, we kneel together in unity, confessing the doctrines clearly laid out, not just in the Lutheran confessions, not just in the words of St. Paul as inspired by the Holy Spirit as they are, but also in the words of Jesus Christ. Take, eat. This is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This cup, the wine that is in this cup, the cup that I have all of you share together. This is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This holy night, when we remember his institution, we receive this meal not just as a remembrance meal, but we receive it for the forgiveness of our sins. When we receive his body into our mouth, when we receive his blood, we receive those gifts, won by Jesus Christ on his cross for all time. You know what? It doesn't make sense. But it is what Jesus said. And therefore we confess it. The church sings. O Lord, we praise thee, bless thee, and adore thee. In thanksgiving bow before thee. Thou with thy body and thy blood didst nourish our weak souls that they may flourish. O Lord, have mercy. May thy body, Lord, born of Mary, that our sins and sorrows did carry, and thy blood for us plead in all trial, fear, and need. O Lord, have mercy. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.